Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 6, Text 14. Patamano,
Patamano
api,
taddehas,
tri, kavyuti,
antara,
druman,
churnayam,
asa,
rajendra,
mahat,
asit,
tadadbhutam,
patamano
pitaddehas,
patamano pitaddehas,
trigavyuchantaradruman,
churnayamasa
rajendra,
maharasit
tadadbhutam,
patamano
pitaddehas,
patamano pitaddehas,
trigavyuch
Tantarajuman
Shunayamasa
Rajendra
Maharasit
Tadadbhutam.
Patamanaha
api,
even while falling down. Taddehaha, her gigantic body. Trigavyuti, antara, within a limit of 12 miles. Druman,
all kinds of trees.
Churnayamasa, smashed. Rajendra, O King Pariksit.
Mahat Asit,
was quite gigantic.
Tat,
that body.
Adbhutam,
and very, very wonderful. O King Pariksit, when the gigantic body of Putana fell to the ground, it smashed all the trees within a limit of 12 miles. Appearing in a gigantic body, she was certainly extraordinary. Purport. Because of the grievous hurt imposed upon her by Krishna's sucking her breast, Putana, while dying, not only left the room, but abandoned the village and fell down in the pasturing ground in her gigantic body.
Patamanopi taddehas trigavyutyantarajuman chunayamasa rajendra mahadasit tadadbhutam.
Oh, certainly it was wonderful. Taddeha, her body had seemed like the body of a beautiful woman. But when it's just like that. When killed by Krishna, it appeared horrible. Oh, well, that gives a clue. If it's grounded, it'll stop buzzing. So, this is what happens to all women when they're killed. Their body may look quite beautiful, but at the time of death it appears grotesque. Such a beautiful woman, everyone is enchanted by her lovely appearance, but after she's dead, that same body becomes horrible. This is mystic power, the mystic power of the illusory energy. Even while she's alive, she's made of the same gross elements. But somehow, by mystic power, someone at least will think, oh, she's so beautiful. Not everyone. to the low-class man, his low-class wife appears very beautiful. But to the more refined and cultivated person, that same woman appears very unpleasant. Similarly, some beautiful woman in human society, perhaps some actress or some very beautiful young girl, seen by the demigods, appears most unpleasant. Similarly, the wives of the demigods, when seen in comparison to the residents of the Vaikuntha planets, also seem quite unpleasant. They have bodies that are made of the material energy instead of the spiritual energy. And there are so many discrepancies and shortcomings. So, seen from the Vaikuntha perspective, these bodies also are horrible. They're, after all, on the outside, painted a little attractively, but inside, they're made of blood, bones, intestines, fat, tendons. The waist of the woman appears very beautiful to the man. The inside is just the digestive system. With all sorts of things going through the process there. So this is Maya's power, that by the arrangement of the illusory energy, something which is not of any real value appears to be very beautiful. Appears to be very beautiful. Prabhupada gave the example that the mannequin, you know what a mannequin is? The mannequin in the shop window appears very attractive. It's got a little thin layer of paint on it, and so it appears just like a beautiful girl. But without the paint, it's nothing. So, similarly, the body has a little thin covering of skin by which it appears to be very nice. And then the skin is further painted. But if you were to peel away that little thin layer of skin, it would be revolting, horrible. So the patamano pitaddeha. So it was with Putana, when her beautiful, attractive body was killed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Patamanopi, when she fell, then her real form was at once disclosed. Then everybody could see what she really was. She appeared to be one thing. Oh, you have such a beautiful baby. Could I pick him up? Can I offer him my breath? So, presenting herself to be one thing. But at the time of her death, it became clear what she was. It became clear what she was. Then mystic power was finished. As long as she was alive, she could conceal what she was by some mystic power. And when death came, then there was no question of concealing any longer. Her body, as it was, became manifest. So then it fell just like the body of Vritrasura. When Vritrasura was killed by Indra, his body fell to the ground, gigantic body. And Putana's body also fell like that. Trigav Yuti Antarajuman, and that body knocked down all the trees. Trigav Yuti, I guess Gavi must mean, Gavyuti must mean something to do with 4, because if you multiply 4 times 3, you get 12. So within a 12-mile radius, all the trees were felled. So it was an ecological disaster also. Churnayamasa. The trees were smashed. They were pulverized, turned to churna. Churnayamasa. Rajendra. Mahad asid tadadbhutam. Such a wonderful, huge body. The commentary is that this must have been the effect of being so painfully killed by Krishna, that first thing, she ran out of the house screaming. Not just that she died and that was it, but she ran out screaming, abandoned the house, went out into the countryside, screaming and screaming, and then crashed to the ground. Then crashed to the ground. Fortunately, because if she'd stayed in the village and crashed, the whole village would have been destroyed. So this also was Krishna's arrangement, that she died in this way and fell to the ground outside the limit of the village, smashing everything. Adbhutam. Certainly this was not a natural thing. Natural, first of all, that the nurse would try to poison the child, that was very unnatural. And then that the that she was actually a demon and killed by the Lord and then assuming such a form, it was adbhuta, not at all. Of course, these things became quite regular in Vrindavan. Practically all the time Krishna was killing some demon. And this happened several times, that they were actually giants and their real form was disclosed, that Pralambasura. It seemed to be just like a regular sized cowherd boy. But when he wanted to kill Balaram, then he assumed a gigantic size. And this is one of the mystic powers. One can become smaller than the smallest. One can become greater than the greatest also. In the case of Pralambasura, I'm not sure what his real form was, whether it was small or big, but he assumed, in any case, a large form. In the case of Putana, she assumed a smaller form, although her actual form was large. So this is mystic power. The demons have such powers sometimes, that they can do extraordinary things. And of course they're called duskriti, because they use their powers for evil purposes. Otherwise, the sadhus also may sometimes have mystic powers, but they use those powers for the welfare of others. But the demons, what is that? Prabhavanti uva karmanaha kshayaya jagato hitaha. In the Bhagavad Gita, their business is to be very active in nasty activities. Ugra karma. Just like this business, killing children by falsely presenting yourself as a beautiful, affectionate mother. Ugra karma, nasty activities. Ahita. It's lokanam hitakarino. Goswamis, they're always doing good for the whole world. And the demons, jagata ahita. They're always doing something horrible. Something destructive. Kshayaya jagato hita. The scientists have great powers. They have great powers. But for what purpose are the powers so often used? They're used for destruction. The scientist is like an artist. An artist needs a patron. You can't just paint. You need somebody to hire you and support you for your artistic work. And a scientist also, for his research, for his instruments, for his laboratory, everything. He requires support, patron. And generally the patron is a government. And in the government, it's usually the Department of Defense. Half the national budget in large first world countries is spent on defense. So the scientists so often are beholden to the Defense Department, which of course is a euphemistic way of saying the military, often the aggressive department, not at all defensive. Or alternatively, large money-making corporations, who are also not established as public welfare organizations, although they may sometimes present themselves that way, but which exist for the sake of profiting. That is, taking money from others and distributing it to their own membership. So the corporations also, although sometimes providing something apparently worthwhile, are not committed to providing something worthwhile. They're committed to making a profit, and often by creating things that make life worse. Sometimes simply small things that inadvertently worsen our way of life. The automobile, for example. Or sometimes directly something mischievous, something horrible. The big companies that are finding out ways to create plants that will have no seed and for which you'll be dependent on them for seeds, or one step better, that will have no seed and will destroy the plants that do have seeds. Further refinement. The abortion business also. With the help of science, the mother can kill the child. Like Putana, appears to be a very nice mother, but thinking how to kill the child. Often by circumstances and so on. But the scientists are there to help. Don't worry, we'll help you kill the child. First we'll help you have sex and not get pregnant. And if that doesn't work, we'll help you kill the little darling. This is the business of the materialistic, demonic society. Presenting itself with a nice face. Right. We're here to help you. Ronald McDonald. The nice friendly face of McDonald's Corporation, which is busy slaughtering animals, torturing animals, spoiling the health of the patrons. By presenting a nice face to the world in this way. So Krishna's business is vinashaya chudushkritam. Therefore it's better not to be a demon, especially small-time demon. Putana was a world-class premier demon, So she was very fortunate. She was killed by Krishna. And therefore she got liberation by contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The small-time demons are not so fortunate. They're killed by some act of material nature. Either they're killed by other demons. That you know that story that Ravana wanted Marichi to kill, to entice Sita by appearing as a deer. So Marichi refused, but no, I do this, Ram will kill me. And Ravana said, if you don't do it, then I'll kill you. Right now. All right, better to be killed by Ram than a rascal like you. To be killed by... So sometimes the demons are killed by other demons. Sometimes they're killed by some act of nature. But in any case, they're killed, but not directly by Krishna. And because they're not directly killed by Krishna, they don't get the benefit. They simply retain all the sins of their life and have to suffer in the next life. What is that? Sangsareshu naradhamam shibram yabhishrama shubham ashish vedu yonishu. What is that? Huh? What's the first one? Okay, we'll pick it up. Tanaham drishata kruran sangsareshu naradhamam asurim yonimabhanya mudva Yonishu Janishu. They don't attain Krishna. They just attain birth in the lower species of life again and again. Buddha Janmani Janmani, what is that? Buddha Janmani Janmani, I think that's the story, something like that. Buddha Janmani Janmani. Again and again. Buddha Janmani Janmani. Again and again taking birth in the lower species. Mama Prapya Eva. They can't attain Krishna. Tato Yanti Adamam Gatin. They go down to the Adamagati, the lowest destination. But therefore, Putana was so fortunate. Ahobhakti, what is that? No. Not about the gopis. About Kalika. Why should I take shelter of someone other than Krishna, who's so merciful that he even killed this sister of Vakasura who approached him to kill him and gave her liberation, gave her a position like his own mother. This is Krishna. He's so merciful. So somehow or other, if one comes, then what to speak of Krishna's actual mother, Yashoda Mayi? If even the false mother, the duplicitous mother, Putana, was granted liberation and went back to Godhead, then what to speak of the devotee mother, Anukulyena Krishna Nishima? What kind of favor these residents of Vrindavan receive from Krishna in exchange for their devotional service. That no one can even calculate. Therefore, Vidura is it? Maitreya? Why should I take shelter of anyone other than Uddhava, third canto. Why should I take shelter of anyone other than Krishna? So this is the conclusion. Even if you're a demon, take shelter of Krishna. Prahlad Maharaj was apparently a demon, but he took shelter of Krishna. Bali Maharaj was apparently a demon, but he took shelter of Krishna. Vrijasura, apparently a demon, but he took shelter of Krishna. So, whatever we may be, if we take shelter of Krishna, Krishna is very kind. He'll give his favor. Okay, any questions, comments?
We're seeing sometimes sadhus also using mystic power for the welfare of others. Give some example.
Example of sadhus using their mystic powers for the welfare of others. Let's see. Mystic powers used by sadhus for the welfare of others. Think of some example. Of course, when you want an example, it doesn't come to mind right away.
Brahmanas
killed King Vena. That was a kind of mystic power. Just by mantras, they did it for the welfare of others. Yeah, this Prabhupada, this is preaching. Mystic power. Turn lechas into devotees.
Instances of devotees who have personal associations with Prabhupada who would mention how he was quite clairvoyant as far as understanding the dynamics of the situation in a person's consciousness before they even ever spoke, and they would feel very exposed.
Yeah, Prabhupada said that this is, Prabhupada of course dismissed it, he would said that face is the index of mind, anyone can tell. But then again, Prabhupada said mystic power means you don't know how to do it. That's one way Prabhupada defined mystic powers. It's some power. Everyone has some power. And for the person who doesn't have that power, it's wonderful. Just like the, Prabhupada gave the example, the lemon tree. It, first of all, it drinks with its feet, which you don't know how to do. And then it produces these little citric acid capsules, all nicely packaged. You don't know how to do that. So for you, it's a mystic power. How does the tree do this? The birds are flying. You know, they just shake their wings and they're up in the air. The bats, although not able to see, are able to fly and navigate very expertly. And there are many other examples of animals and plants even that have these very strange capabilities. So when the Spanish conquistadores came to Latin America, it seemed that they had mystic powers. They were as if they were gods, because they knew how to do things that to the local people were miraculous. For the ordinary Europeans, it was common business. But to people who hadn't seen it before, it was miraculous. You can imagine if you go to a village and you turn on an MP3 player or something, all the local villagers may think you're a magician. Or imagine if you go into the deepest jungle or something, and you turn on a television. It's absolutely mystic. A mystic means simply that I don't know how to do it. I don't understand it. So Prabhupada usually dismissed his mystic powers. But actually it's there. that by being fully surrendered to Krishna, he had so many capabilities beyond the ordinary. Or even ordinary capabilities, when used in the service of Krishna, become extraordinary. Become extraordinary. The gopis, they were ordinary girls attracted to a boy who was extraordinary, because that boy was Krishna. There, everything became extraordinary. That Kardamuni had mystic powers. He arranged, of course it wasn't for the whole public, it was for his wife, but he arranged for the palace in the sky with all sorts of arrangements. Ambarish Maharaj. No, he didn't show any mystic power. Durvasa showed the mystic power. Ambarish Maharaj just surrendered to Krishna. Then Krishna, the Yogeshwara, the master of all mystic powers, protected him. What is the story? Parashara Muni? There's something else that came to mind, mystic powers that the sages have. Brahma, he has all these mystic powers. So he gives birth from his different parts of his body, he gives birth to the Kumaras and to Narad Muni and to so many. For us, it's mystic. For him. Turn which into what?
Into coins.
Into coins. Yeah, so the great devotees may sometimes show something. But generally the devotees are not interested in mystic powers. Because you have mystic powers, you become infatuated. Oh, I can get mystic powers. And then you get the mystic power, and the mystic power becomes more important than self-realization. This is the danger. I get something that I think I can use for my project of spiritual advancement, and instead the thing uses me. Even the materialists, they think that they're creating something for the benefit of mankind, and it becomes destructive. Emerson, the American writer, he said, things are in the saddle and ride mankind. Things are in the saddle and ride mankind. We create so many things for our happiness, for our progress, for human welfare, and it doesn't really result in the television. Has it really resulted in an enlightened populace? You walk down a street in America, especially in every house, the blue light is on, and you have a blue glowing light. And if you could look inside, you'd see people sitting there. He doesn't talk to his wife, he doesn't talk to his children, he hasn't read a book in 130 years. But he's one of the people who are enlightened, you know, the internet. Another, you know, something for the benefit of all mankind. And, you know, we wouldn't even begin to talk about the negative effects of what people are exposed to on the internet, although it's supposedly for the benefit of mankind. So this was called Maya's arrangement. Maya sukaya paramudvahato vimudha. Maya is arranged in such a way, or Maya uses her capabilities in such a way, that we think that we're doing something to make life better, and instead it makes life worse. It's called Maya. The thing that makes life better is spiritual realization, Krishna consciousness. And what we think is going to make life better is something else. And that's the biggest obstacle to Krishna consciousness. In the fourth canto, the Kumaras say that the biggest obstacle to self-realization is to think that there's something else more important. To think there's something else more valuable, more important. That's the biggest obstacle. Maya provides, as soon as we want to turn away from Krishna, Maya provides something else, more interesting, more important, more valuable, more enlivening, a source of greater happiness.
Maharaj, it seems that sometimes the devotees, they act like demons to fulfill the Krishna's desire. That is Krishna's favorable or unfavorable?
When the devotees act like demons, is it favorable for Krishna's satisfaction? Is it favorable or unfavorable? It's superficially unfavorable. Just like Hiranyakashipu, that's not counted as favorable to torture Prahlad Maharaj. That's pratikul, big time pratikul. But then, seen in the larger context, it's anukul, because Krishna's desiring it. But we're not recommended to follow in the Hiranyakashipu Sampradaya.
This summer, somebody was reading from the third canto, and they were saying that of all the offenses, of all the sinful reactions, the biggest is disrespect to saintly persons. And
things that have a reaction or things that are a reaction? Which
of all simple reactions,
disrespecting saintly persons is the reaction.
Is the word. I mean, the simple activities, that's what I mean. Sorry. Of all simple activities, disrespecting saintly persons is the word. And the Prabhupada was saying that thinking of Krishna even unfavorably can relieve one from that. Those simple reactions of that. That was really clear that Prabhupada was saying. We have to find the exact quote.
Always good to find the exact quote, because sometimes the exact quote and the somewhat exact quote are not the same.
I was hearing, we repeated it a few times.
But anyway, thinking of Krishna is purifying. But disrespecting saintly persons is a great obstacle to thinking of Krishna even. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to think of Krishna, but then you commit Vaishnava aparadhas, and then your ability to think of Krishna goes out the window. Mm-hmm. Or Guru aparadha. Even that, who was that? Karna. Mm-hmm. Because his guru was displeased. When he wanted to think of the mantra, he couldn't do it. When he needed to think of the mantra, when his life depended on thinking of the mantra, he couldn't remember it. Because his Guru Maharaj was displeased, offended. You cheated me. So if the spiritual master or Vaishnava or sadhu is offended, then our ability to think of Krishna may diminish or disappear.
Putana pretended to be Krishna's mother. If Krishna gave her a position of mother and Krishna's wife, but even we see Prahlada also pretended to be Krishna's covered boyfriend, but still it's not mentioned anywhere. He got a position of a covered boyfriend in Krishna's wife.
It's not specifically mentioned that Pralambasura got the position of a cowherd boy, although Putana got the position of a mother. So we don't know what Pralambasura got, but certainly he made out well on the deal. He benefited. Not exactly what position he got. And Krishna is not a machine. It's not that because he deals one way in one circumstance, he has to deal the same way in another circumstance. That's the meaning of causeless mercy. He can do as he likes. But certainly, Pralambasura benefited. What position he got, we don't know. Some other comment, question? Yes.
In case of Chaitanya self-realization, when the person thinks that something else is more enlightening, more inspiring, more likely than person like
more valuable, more important.
So when this has begun, is it just like a disease whose symptoms has begun and there's no way other than going through it?
No, there's a way out other than going through it. It's not that if you get that disease, there's no way to get out of it, but to go work your way through it. Prapta shakalyana gunanavash. If you get the mercy of a saintly person, then you see all. I thought this was more valuable, but this is nonsense. Just like our ISKCON devotees, they were all thinking something else is more interesting, something else is more valuable, something else is more inspiring or enlightening, something material. But they came in touch with saintly persons and they thought, oh, that was nonsense. Let me give it up. Or even those who, something they might have gotten into. But because they came in touch with Krishna consciousness, they say, oh, I'm not going to get into that. That's for fools. Not that the only way that you can find out that something, even they might have thought, oh, this is really something, I'd like to do this. I could have a career as this, I could do that, I could have a girl like this, I could, so many things, dreams. That's not that the only way you can find out that your dream is nonsense is to, delve into it. Just by hearing. Just by experiencing something better. The devotees, I was an idiot. I thought I was going to do this. I thought I was going to do that. I thought I was going to be happy with this, that. Whether they tried it or not tried it, if they get the mercy of the devotee, the mercy of Krishna, then they can just skip it. Forget it. Skip it.
In case of the one who is already, this is about those who have not yet taken and who are still on the material side, and then they realize. But then after, even after they see everything, and then they at one point of time they had concluded that yes, this is the best. And then when they are already engaged in the process of self-realization, then they begin to get after they have been long time. And then they get such a diversion in their mind.
That means
there's something else.
That means their spiritual realization is not yet perfect, and therefore they've run up against the greatest obstacle: to think that something else is more important, more valuable, more pleasing. That's all. Finally, what Maya is for everyone. Someone that takes the form of money, someone that takes the form of a woman, someone that takes the form of fame and followers, someone who takes the form of something else. But for everyone it takes the same form. X is more valuable than Krishna consciousness. X is more, will give me greater pleasure than Krishna consciousness. So it's always the same, that formula from Maya. Why stick to Krishna consciousness? X will be better. And the person who's fixed up in Krishna consciousness says, no, X is not better, X is nonsense. And the person who's still has some weakness may be captivated. Oh, X is more valuable. Hadn't thought about that. So one has to be very careful of the power of Maya. Mama Maya Duratya. One always has to keep in good association. Chant Hare Krishna. Be engaged nicely. The mind is very powerful. One has to be careful.
Without becoming fully Krishna consciousness, if we make some sort of Without becoming fully Krishna consciousness, when you preach and then some power of is it valuable to become a fully Krishna consciousness or to
Let's see if I understood the question. One is not fully Krishna conscious, but he's preaching. So then what's the question? Whether he shouldn't be preaching? What is the question?
My question is that this will be preached or not?
This will be?
He should be preached or not?
Yes, he should preach. He shouldn't pretend. I'm a perfect devotee. I'll make you a perfect devotee. I've understood everything. I'm God. But to the extent of his realization, he can present that this is a good thing. I don't fully understand everything. I may not myself be perfect, but at least I can say that this is my experience, how it's good, and this is what the authorities say. And by preaching, he'll also get more realization. His realization is not full, but the more he preaches nicely, the more he'll get realization. Tadami bhuti yogam tam yenam. Because he's rendering service. So by service, you get realization. Just he shouldn't pretend. I'm the greatest. Purpose is not to present how great he is. I'm so learned, I'm so advanced. His purpose is to present how great Krishna is. Otherwise it's another form of cheating, another kind of sense gratification. I used to think that I was great because of my money, because of my good look. Now I can present that actually I'm great because I have so much knowledge, because I'm such an advanced devotee. And Maya will. When Maya approached Haridas Thakur, she also proposed to him that you're so, the Maya or the prostitute, you're so young, you're so handsome, you're such a great devotee. But because he was a great devotee, he didn't believe it. And someone who's not thinks, yes, actually. Is that all right? Trinadapi suni chena kirtaniya sadhari. One should remain humble, then he can preach. All right? Anything else? Time to stop? Tell me what to do. Okay. Hare Krishna. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.